If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. I was going to preach another message on worship tonight, but the Lord led me in a different direction. So I want to read this psalm of 11 verses with emphasis on verse 5 and verse 11. Psalm 42. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites, and from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the help and my countenance and my God. Father, tonight we thank you so much for the Psalms. And Lord, there's so much that we could learn from these Psalms. And Lord, especially this one tonight, and the trouble that this psalmist was going through, and the depression, discouragement, the enemy questioning, where is his God? And Lord, it's easy for us as Christians to get to that place. When we go through struggles and trials, we can get to the place where, Lord, we wonder, Lord, where you are. We wonder, Lord, and what's happening in our lives. And but Lord, I'm thankful that there's encouragement in this psalm, that there's instruction here of what we can do when we're despondent, when we're down, when we're depressed. And Lord, that there's some truth here that we can hope in you. We can rest confident in your character and who you are as our God, and your promises, which are always true and faithful. Father, we just pray that, Lord, that you would use this passage of Scripture to encourage each and every one here tonight. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know who wrote this, but somebody had said that it may be part of a song. I'm not sure, but they said that God moves in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. You know, it is true. God, God works in mysterious ways, sometimes in ways we don't understand. You know, the psalmist here, no doubt, was going through some struggles in his soul. He was cast down. He was depressed. He was down in the dumps. He was struggling with having courage to just continue on in his life. And as he said in verse 6, "Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me." He's even asking questions like in verse 9, "I will say unto the God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me?" You know, sometimes we can feel that way. We can feel that, "God, where have you forgotten me and left me in this trial to suffer?" You know that even some of the most godly Christians go through depression. You know, it's not something that is just for a lost person or a backslidden person. It's something that even very godly people experience. You know, I was thinking about one of the hymn writers of the ages past named William Cooper. And one of the songs you might be familiar with that he has written is "A Fountain Filled with Blood." Well, if you read the story of William Cooper, at 5 years old, his mother died. He was a very timid, sensitive boy. And when he was young, he was treated and abused with cruelty by an older boy. When he got to college, he went to law school, and while he was in law school, he fell in love with his cousin named Theodore Cooper. But her father did not approve of their relationship, and neither one of them ever married. Later in life, he was being examined to get a government job. And because of all the stress and pressure of being examined and so on, he was a very introverted type of man, and he tried to commit suicide because he couldn't handle the pressure and was even put in a pavilion for some time. Later, he moved to a town called Olney, and the pastor of the church in that town was John Newton, the writer of Amazing Grace. And John Newton did his best to try to encourage this young man, and together they were able to compile a hymn book. And this man, if you read his history, it's like he's like this, up and down. His emotions, and he would go through seasons of depression. But yet, in spite of that, God used him to write over 60-something hymns. You talk about the Lord working in mysterious ways. You know, you can look in the Bible, like here, this psalmist. I don't know if David wrote this one for sure. It doesn't say in the superscription before, but we know David went through depression and discouragement in his life. We could know others in the Bible, Elijah, Job, Jonah, Jeremiah. I mean, we can just start going through the list of men. I mean, David was a man after God's own heart, a man that loved God with a passion. But yet David struggled at times with depression. Remember in 1 Samuel, he was so discouraged that when they came back from going to war, came back to Ziklag and found their city was burned and their wives and children were kidnapped. And, you know, the people liked to stone David. And David was very, very discouraged. But the Bible tells us there that David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. when he was down, when he was discouraged to the point of giving up, it's that he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. So all of us, I want you to know tonight that all of us are going to have times where we're down in the dumps of depression, despondency, discouragement. It's part of life. It's a normal part of life. And the important thing is not to stay there. There's times that we're going to get that way, but don't stay in the dumps, because that's exactly what Satan wants us to do. Because as long as we're down in that depression, listen, we're not going to be very useful to the Lord. I don't think the Lord intends us to stay there. He allows us to get there, but He doesn't want us to stay there. Sometimes I'm afraid that we're so concerned about our circumstances that we forget God is concerned about our character. You know, God wants to develop character in us. I think sometimes we're so busy grumbling about our problems that we, instead of glorifying God for His greatness and His goodness in our life. We can be so focused on ourselves that we forget about others that are in need. Be careful of getting your focus off the Lord and on yourself. When we go through those times and being discouraged and depressed and despondent, we need to look to the Lord like this psalmist did. You know, what is it that essentially casts us down? You know, Proverbs in chapter 12, verse 25, I want to read it. Proverbs 12, 25 says, "Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad." Heaviness speaks of a burden. It's a burden in the heart that makes the heart to stoop down. There are things in life that burden us. I mean, we can't avoid it. You're going to have trials. You're going to have problems. You're going to have struggles. And these burdens are going to weigh you down. But it says, "A good word maketh it glad." You know, I hope tonight to give you a good word. I hope to give you something tonight from the Word of God to make your heart glad. Another verse in Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life." Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. In other words, when our expectations are deferred or delayed or long in being fulfilled, it makes our heart sick. You know, in other words, when we lose hope, we get down in the dumps. Carrying these heavy burdens in our heart and losing hope that things will ever get better, that's what will cast our soul down. Losing hope. But I want you to notice in verse 5 and verse 11 that the psalmist here instructs himself and instructs us to hope in God, to be confident in Him. You know, it's almost as if in these verses he is talking to himself. How many of you talk to yourself? I think we all do, don't we? There's times that we're alone, we're talking to ourselves. I mean, we're talking to our soul. Our soul is conversing with us. And you know, here he's talking to himself. He says, "Why art thou cast down? Why are you depressed, O my soul? Why are you disquieted in me?" But notice what he says, "Hope thou in God." He's telling himself, put your confidence in the Lord. Put your hope in Him and His promises and His power. And if we just stop and think about who God is, stop and think about His character, that ought to help us. Because part of His character is He's good. God is good. And we say that a lot. We say, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. But you know, it's more than just a saying. It's true. You know, all things work together for good, the Bible says, to them that love God, who are called according to His purpose. You know, those are truths that are in the Bible that we can rest upon. And we need to put hope in. You know, David said in Psalm 62:1, truly my soul waiteth upon God. From Him cometh my salvation. That's what we have to do in time of despondency. We have to just wait on God. We have to just hope in His promises. We have to just trust that, God, I don't know what You're doing, but I trust Your heart. I don't understand Your hand, what You're doing in my life, but I trust Your heart. I know that Your heart, in Your heart, that You're good and that You love me. And so I'm just going to wait on You because You are my salvation. You are my deliverance. You know, I want to kind of give three examples of things that cast us down and how to overcome them. And this is not everything that could cast us down, but this is just some examples of how to apply these truths here in these two verses. And I'm going to start off this way. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? That's how it's going to start, the question. And the first answer or another question is it because of sin? You know, sometimes sin can be at the root of our depression. Sin can be what is troubling our soul. Unconfessed sin is a burden that can cast us down. I want you to look at an example of this in Psalm 38. Let's go back to Psalm 38, just a couple of pages there. And Psalm 38, in verse 4, David said, for my iniquities are gone over my head. As a heavy burden, they are too heavy for me. My wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled and I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. Here's an example of sin being a burden that troubles the soul. He says, he's talking about his iniquities that has gone over him. And he's troubled by this. He's bowed down by this. He's mourning all the day long by this. You know, in Psalm 42, where it says in verse 5, it uses the word disquieted. The same exact Hebrew word that you're going to find troubled there in Psalm 38. It means the same thing. Troubled, disquieted. You know, David in Psalm 38 was down in the dumps. He was despondent. He was discouraged. You know, when you turn to Psalm 32, let's go to Psalm 32 in verse 3. In this confession of David, he says, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer, Selah. You know, here he says, when I kept silence, he's talking about when he had not confessed his sin, when he was just holding his sin in, hiding his sin, not confessing and forsaking it. He said he was roaring all the day long. He was moaning, crying, and troubled all the day, and God's hand was heavy upon me. Sin can trouble us. Sin can cast us down. But you'll notice in verse 5, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. My iniquity have I not hid. There came a time, it was somewhat over a year's time after David committed this sin with Bathsheba that he finally confessed his sin and got right with the Lord and was able to write this psalm and say, blessed is the man, or blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. He experienced the joy of forgiveness. He hoped in God and His forgiveness when he confessed his sin. He had a believing confidence in God when he acknowledged his sin to God. You know, you could contrast Saul and David in this. You know, when Saul, remember when Saul was afflicted by an evil spirit because of his disobedience to God, and he sought temporary comfort from David's harp. He would have David come in and play the harp, and that would comfort him for a measure of time. But we never find Saul confessing his sin. But David, we find he did confess his sin. Finally, he did come before the Lord, and he did put his hope in the Lord. He hoped in God's mercy, and he received comfort. You know, when we're down in the dumps and the problem is unconfessed sin, we need to take it to the Lord in prayer. We need to hope in God, in His forgiveness. Confess that sin. Claim His promises. 1 John 1:9. We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you know what the result will be? Just what He says in our text. I shall yet praise Him by the help of His countenance. When we get it right with the Lord, guess what? We're gonna praise God. We're gonna give God the glory. We're gonna be thanking Him for what He did for us. We're gonna have God's comfort. It said, "I will praise Him for what? The help of His countenance." The countenance speaks of, you know, I think what it's speaking of here, you know, countenance speaks of a person's face. And so what he's talking about here is a special manifestation of God in his life. You know, of God's presence to support us in times of need, to keep us from sinking in despondency. I want you to look at an example in Psalm 63 and verse 2. I think this would be an example. Psalm 63 and verse 2, here David, he said, "To see thy power and thy glory, so as I've seen thee in the sanctuary." You know, God, or David saw the Lord in the sanctuary. You know, this Psalm 42 starts out as, "The heart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God." He was longing for God. He had been away from the temple, maybe in exile, and he couldn't worship with God's people. And as he is away from the Lord, and he was despondent, but you know, God made a manifestation to him and gave him hope to go on, move on. Let me give you a second example. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Is it because of sickness? Is it because of some health struggles in your life?" You know, let me give you an example of this in Psalm 77. Sometimes health problems can cause us to be despondent in our life. In Psalm 77, verses 2 through 4, let's just start in verse 1. "I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and He gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed." Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. Here he talks about his sword running, ran in the night and ceased not. He couldn't get any comfort at all. Couldn't sleep. You know, people sometimes battle some serious health struggles, and it certainly can cast you down in a hurry. You know, I'm thankful that I haven't had any recent days, but I have been there. I have been despondent because of health struggles before. I don't remember what years it was, but we were in Ghana, and I had a severe UTI. Went through 6 weeks of antibiotics, 2 different rounds of them, and it didn't do anything to change my condition. And it was very painful. I made traveling difficult. Going to church was difficult. Going out for evangelism, carrying on responsibilities, it was difficult. It was hard. It was discouraging. It was easy to get despondent. I remember when we came back to the States in 2011, I remember at that time I was trying to get surgery for the implants, and at first things wasn't working out very well, and it was difficult. And then to find out I had hemochromatosis and my liver was about to show signs of cirrhosis. And I mean, just all this was all at the one time just coming down upon me. I can remember a time that I was at home by myself and I just began to weep and cry. Just burdened down. But the cure, hope thou in God. Hope thou in God. You know, I want you to look at Psalm 27. I like these two verses. In Psalm 27, verses 13 and 14, he said, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. He said, I'd have fainted. I'd just literally given up if I had not believed to see the goodness of the Lord. Hope in the Lord. Put your confidence in God. God has a plan. God knows what He's doing. We don't always know. We don't always understand it. I remember when I was going through the UTI problem. I remember my wife came back to the States and I was over there with the kids, and with that problem. But I remember one day we went out for evangelism and we went to visit one of our members that was 60 plus years old, and he was skin and bones and he hadn't been to church in a while, and come to find out he had a severe UTI. And when we began to talk to him, and we were outside the little room where he was staying, a little bitty, probably wasn't even 8x6 room where he slept in. Didn't have a bed. He slept on the floor on a little mat. 60 plus years old. No Medicare. No Social Security. No retirement. He did all of his bathing outside. He had no toilet, shower, nothing. Just a little room. Did all of his cooking outside. And this room is connected to a building where his other family members lived. And this man not only had UTI, but he had severe asthma. And he had no money to buy inhalers. And I got to thinking to myself, why art thou cast down, O my soul? When I looked at this member of my church, and I thought, he has it so much worse than I got it. At least I can go home and have a comfortable home. At least I can go home and have a nice meal. At least I can go home, take a shower. At least I can buy medicine. Hope thou in God. You know, another example. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Is it because of satanic attacks? You know, in our text, he talks about the enemy in a couple of places. You know, in verse 3, for example, my tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say to me, where is thy God? And then we see it again, verse 9, I will say to the God, to God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? You know, sometimes the enemy will attack. He will use people. You know, he has all different ways of attacking us as believers. It could be through sin. It could be through sickness. But it can be through family members. It could be through church members. It can be through people we work with. It could be through lost people, friends. The devil, he knows how to get to us. He knows how to get us down. He knows how to get us discouraged and despondent. And you know, that's his objective. He wants to get us so down that we're no longer of any use in the ministry. But you know, God is overseeing it all. Don't forget. Don't forget God is sovereign. Don't forget that He is over Satan. You know, just read the story of Job. And God is using it all for our good. God is using it to build us and grow us and help us. And to bless us even greater. You know, I think of the story of Elijah in 1 Kings 19. Remember, he had just gotten the victory over these false prophets of Baal. And then Queen Jezebel threatened him. And it don't even make any sense. I mean, he stood up boldly against all these prophets and had them all killed. And then one woman threatens him and he runs for his life. And if you want to turn over there, let's just look at a couple of verses. And in 1 Kings 19, as he ran away and begins to throw a pity party now. It says in verse 4, but he himself went a day's journey in the wilderness, came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested for himself that he might die. He said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take away my life, for I'm not better than my father's. I mean, you talk about a man that lost it. I mean, this man was totally despondent. He was praying, Lord, just take me. I've had enough. Have you ever been there? Or you just said, Lord, I've had enough of this. Just take me out of this world. He was beginning to throw a big pity party. And as he lay, it said he slept. And behold, an angel touched him, said to him, arise and eat. He looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water in his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. Isn't that something, how the Lord ministered to him? Even in our despondency, the Lord's there. He is there. But you know, the second time the angel of the Lord came, verse 7, touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And he arose, did eat, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days, 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. And he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? He said, what are you doing here? I mean, you're a prophet of God. You know, this is what we would call one of those special manifestations of God. God was You know, coming to this prophet in the still small voice, you can read on in this passage. But God's saying, what are you doing here? I've called you. Why are you here throwing this pity party? Get back to work. Get back doing what I told you to do. You know, he told him in verse 15, the Lord said to him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. So he said, get up and go. Don't get busy. Get off of your self-pity party and go do what I told you to do. And I'm telling you, some of the best medicine for depression is just get out and do something for the Lord. Go do what the Lord wants you to do. Don't sit at home and just be pitying over yourself. Go out and do something. Serve somebody. Go help somebody. Go tell somebody about the Lord. There are other people out there suffering. There are lost people out there. You know, you get out there, you begin to see, like I did, you see people that have it worse than you have it. And you'll begin to count your blessings and name them one by one. You know, this psalmist tells us, no matter what it is that's bringing us down, we should be asking these questions. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. Hope thou in God. Put your confidence in God. God has not forsaken us. The Bible promises that. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God gives us that promise. We can rest in that. And he says, for I shall yet praise him. We may be discouraged right now, but listen, just hope in the Lord. You're going to see the Lord do something. He's going to bring you out of that. And he's going to set you up on a rock. You know, I want to just close with a verse over in Psalm 61. Let's look at these first two verses in Psalm 61. He says, hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Don't you think it's time to get out of the dumps and get up on the rock? The Lord's our rock. He's our refuge. He's our strength. He's our hope, our confidence. You know, we put our faith in Him for salvation of our soul. Let's put our faith in Him for our salvation out of despondency. Let's go to the throne of grace. Cast all of our cares upon Him. You know, that word cares, it comes back to this psalm. You know, we talked about burden. Cast your burdens on the Lord, for He care for you. Let's stand tonight. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, tonight we're thankful that you care. We're thankful that you know everything that we're going through in our lives. You know the struggles, you know the burdens, you know the heartaches. You know, Lord, when we're despondent, ready to give up. Lord, I'm thankful that you're ever present with us. You're a very present help in time of need. You're a refuge for us. Lord, even when we don't understand. Lord, sometimes we don't experience immediate deliverance. Sometimes we continue to go through struggle. Lord, help us to hope in You that there's a plan, there's a purpose. Lord, help us not to lose hope that You can see us through, that You can bring us to Your intended goal. Lord, I'm thankful that You're at work in our lives and that You don't just leave us to ourselves. But Lord, You're always working. You're always helping us and building us and growing us. But Lord, we get into more trouble whenever we give up hope, whenever we lose faith. Lord, there are a lot that Christians that come to that point, a breaking point of just totally giving up. Lord, I pray that would not be the case of anyone here tonight. I pray that we would not come to that point of just giving up, Lord, but that we would just surrender. We would surrender it all to You, to cast our care upon You. But we know You care for us. Father, bless Your word. Use it tonight for Your own purpose, for Your own glory. And I pray in Jesus' name. As Curtis sings tonight, you come.